You are about to enter the X-Files Diaries. Broadcasting from a video arcade in Cornerville, Oklahoma. Here are special agents Charlie, Nick, and Annie.
Welcome back to the X-Files Diaries. It's been a while since we last talked to you guys, but we do have a very fun podcast for you this week. We're going to have a guest listener on the show. She's going to be talking about her thoughts on the finale. Yes, we're not past the finale yet. We're going to get her thoughts on the finale. Maybe it'll spark some feelings that we have left over from the finale that we haven't really talked about yet. We're also going to be talking about, we have a theme here today. We're going to be talking about finales in general, TV finales in history, and how they relate, maybe positively, negatively, good and bad, to the X-Files finale that we saw a few weeks ago. And also then Annie has an interesting question to bring up a little bit later on as well about the relationship between show creators and their fans. And I'm really interested to get into that.
Don't forget, we're going to wrap up with the results from the first round of the X-Files Monster Madness bracket.
Monster Madness! How could I forget about Monster Madness as well? We had a fun, is first round voting still going on, or did that conclude?
It's, we're going to talk about the results tonight.
Results tonight, and then we'll start round two. I could see, Charlie, since we last talked to you, your voice hasn't improved.
Still, it's improved a little bit.
Still going strong. So you left off.
Maybe I should just talk down here.
I like it.
I can be this guy.
Sultry tones.
I'll just be like, yeah.
So, I like that guy.
So Charlie's voice is where we last left it. Is Annie's anger where we last left it?
Shouldn't we introduce our guest first?
Well, we will. I want to
prepare her for the anger.
You don't want to talk about my anger.
Because it seems like you quieted down. Then we started texting the other day and the rage built up. I felt it. Did it come back?
Yes. No, it never left.
All right. Well, we do have our guest.
Let's just say this. As many of you know, I'm pregnant. We're talking about names because we're having a boy. We had William on our list. It's now off the list.
Now off.
Totally off.
That's probably good. Nobody wants
to be
named.
That's how I'm feeling.
Nobody wants to be nicknamed Billy.
All right. Well, let's bring our guest now. Her name is Christine. You may know her as Scorpio1080 on Twitter. Christine is a longtime listener to a lot of our diaries line of podcasts, Charlie. She listened to Revolution Diaries. Yep. I think does she listen to Flash Diaries? I'm not sure. But I don't know. Does she go back to Alcatraz?
No, okay. Goes back to Alcatraz.
Oh, Christine, thank you for coming by with us tonight.
Hello. I'm very happy to be here.
So you wanted to come on because you have some thoughts on the X-Files finale. Before we get to that, like, what kind of a broad question here, I guess, like, what kind of X-Files fan are you? Have you been a fan since the original run, just picked it up more recently? Like, tell us a little bit about it.
I have been watching X-Files since it came on ancient times ago. So I'm a long time X-Files viewer. And recently, when I heard that the season was coming back, there was a group of us on Twitter who got together and did rewatches until the season came up. So we've been watching it all along in anticipation for this season.
All right, very cool. So you were excited about this season?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
All right. Let's take it one step at a time. Leading up to the finale, how were you feeling about the first five episodes?
I actually was quite pleased because coming from an old viewer, before this season came out, me and my husband would talk about it, I said, you know, wouldn't it be great if this X-Files is kind of happening in our time and uses all kind of like the conspiracy theories that have happened all along. And I was kind of happy that they did kind of throw those tidbits in there. So I'm glad that they kind of stuck it where they had like a main storyline, but they also did like a few episodes with like the monster series. So it was kind of like standalone episodes.
Are you into Are you into like the real world conspiracy theories?
I'm not like a conspiracy theory nut, but I do like know a lot. You know, you hear see things on Facebook, you hear things from people. I did work with mentally ill people for a very long time, and a lot of them definitely are always bringing these conspiracy theories up. So I'm very aware of a lot of conspiracy theories that are out there. A lot of people really are deeply into them and really talk about them all the time. So I heard a lot of them.
Yeah, a few of the radio shows, podcasts I listen to really delve into a lot of conspiracy theories and stuff. I don't know how much I buy into, you know, a lot of it, but I do love listening to it. They're great stories at the very least. And this, some of it has a grain of truth. And what I was going to say is just this X-Files season did a great job of really using very real world examples. If you are at all familiar with some of the conspiracy theories that are promoted, you heard a ton of them throughout the five episodes, not the six episodes, actually.
Yes, definitely.
So do you feel that the finale paid off for this new season?
I did. Okay. But again, I am seeing it as all along we've been I watched the finale of the last season before this season, very close to it. So it wasn't like I had been waiting years and years and not seen any X-Files and then boom, I got this season. So I had seen all of these episodes leading up to it, and it kind of just, even though they were older, you know, they had been apart from the X-Files for a while, to me, they just kind of slid right back into it. And I was happy with it. I mean, maybe I didn't have as many expectations because I hadn't been in an X-Files drought. But to me, I enjoyed it. I was happy to see all the characters back. The things that I wanted to see in it happened. So I was happy with it.
And also, you're fully convinced that there's another season coming, right?
Absolutely. And I did I kind of researched this after listening to your podcasts where a lot of you guys were talking about, did Chris Carter write this with not knowing for sure if they were going to get another season? Am I correct in that?
Well, that is a question. There's a few variables involved here.
Okay. The first thing I wanted to say is Fox kind of wanted to bring in a couple of different series, like these mini things. They did it with 24, they did it with X-Files, and they're doing it with Prison Break. And Chris Carter said it was a TV Guide interview, and he said that there were plans for more episodes and that everybody involved is just waiting on the success of the season. So even Fox, you know, the chairman and CEO of Fox said that they're open to renewal. Anderson and Duchovny, they all said that they were also on board. So I think they kind of knew that since X-Files had such a big following and had done so well in the past, and they were getting so much, even before they started filming, they were getting, you know, so much buzz that they were going to go ahead and order another season after.
Yeah, more and more. And you know, especially with what you're saying, now that I'm a little bit more removed from the finale and some emotions and stuff, I feel like they just made a mistake by not telling us that most likely there will be more. I don't know where.
In fact, they did the opposite.
Right, exactly. And why did they do this? Because that just sets up horrible expectations. And see, again, you know, this is why I still like the finale, because I have faith that there will be more. But you know, I feel like that's a bigger mistake. The setting up of this six episode season, the way they set it up and promoted it to the fans, was actually worse, like worse treatment than the actual finale itself.
In some ways, it feels
I didn't. Go ahead.
No. In some ways, it feels a little bit like Star Trek II, where they're like, oh, that's not Khan. That's not Khan. No, we know it's Khan. No, no, that's not Khan. And then it was. And you're like, see, it's you should have just, once we knew, you should have just been like, yeah, he's Khan. It's going to be awesome.
Right. Run with it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that it, how they went into it, though, like, I guess you guys perceived it in a different way. I knew these three series were coming, the 24, the Prison Break, and the X-Files. I kind of, it even said, if these six do well, then they're probably going to pick it up. So in my mind, I'm like, they're getting so much buzz. The ratings after the first episode were so incredible. They're definitely going to get, as long as everybody's on board, they're going to get another season.
Well, that's now, a big if. You know, that's a big qualifier. And like, they spent a lot of time telling us that that wasn't the case. Like, I mean, Chris Carter didn't come out and say, oh yeah, I've always wanted to do more, until after that first episode came out and after those ratings came out, from what I saw. And Jillian in particular was very gung-ho, this is it, I'm done, I'm not doing anymore, this is it. And then once the whole thing was over, everyone was kind of like, yeah, well, I guess maybe we could come back if everything falls into place. And so it was just, it wasn't, I don't think it was properly handled. If they wanted people to embrace this finale, I don't think that they properly handled that aspect.
Agree. Yeah.
Yeah. And the more and more I think about it, I think if they knew they were making more, this finale works, but only as like, oh, this is part one of season 10 and we're going to get a second part of season 10. Like, If this were a mid-season finale, I think it works. But if it's supposed to be the end of a season total, it's still way too not right in my book, kind of thing. But, you know, that's, you know, my feelings.
But I will say this, and I think you guys did mention it. When they were promoting this last episode, they did say season finale and not series finale.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I definitely picked up that.
That may be a little nod. I mean, most people that I know that I was watching with, my husband, who's not on Twitter, and he's not really a big, he loves X-Files, but he's not like doing the rewatches and stuff with us. He said he even liked it. I mean, you guys were the first that I kind of really got that were disappointed in it.
Yeah, that's, I'm so surprised by that. I mean, I really am.
I think it's also like, I didn't take it seriously as, man, if they don't end this right, I'm never going to watch X-Files, you know, go back to what it was. Because I think the last season of the season 9 was horrible.
Yeah, I agree.
Compared to this. I mean,
but I think that finale had far more closure and was far better than this finale.
Yes, but again,
that's saying a lot, because that finale sucked.
That was meant to close a series. I don't think it was either. I think Chris Carter, I think it was a big gamble. I think it was a huge gamble, and you're right. It may have been wrong. I think they promoted it wrong, and it may have been a stupid gamble to take, but nonetheless, this was never meant to be a series finale.
I agree with you there, and I think just, and I go, and again, I don't want to like rehash the same stuff that I've always been saying, but it's just like, it feels like spousal abuse to me. Because they've done this to me so many times, and it like, it's painful. And like, I see all this other great TV on, or the like, this great programming on TV, like awesome shows that are great. And this doesn't even come close. This particular hour, I'm going to say, because I very much enjoyed the rest of the series.
Yeah. Now I'm really excited here, because I didn't know Christine's opinion when we were having her come on this show. So I am excited to have somebody who agrees with me and really enjoyed the finale. So
yeah, Christine, it's pretty even now.
What did you enjoy about it?
What did I enjoy about it?
Yeah. Why did you come away liking it?
I saw, even though they kind of broke it up where the first episode and the last episode kind of were the ones that you could obviously see were supposed to connect, there was little things throughout each episode that kind of connected all the episodes. So in the finale, they really, I do agree, they did rush the finale. I think they tried to pack a ton of stuff in there. You know, they couldn't do, I think originally they were supposed to do 10 episodes and they were only able to get 6 in because of David and Jillian's schedules. So I think they did try to pack a lot in there. But I did like how they try to tie all of the conspiracy theory stuff together. The other thing is, you don't know exactly what you're watching. It leaves you kind of things to think about until they bring it back. Like, was this whole thing really what was going on? Or was this just like a psychosis that Scully was going through? Was she having a midlife crisis and she's in a mental institution and these are all the things that she's thinking about? Or is she still in a coma?
Like, so you think there's some weight to that theory that this is all some kind of dream?
Possibly, yes. Because right halfway through the finale, with everything else that had gone on in the other 5 episodes, that finale, towards the end, there was like maybe 5 minutes left. And I'm like, how in the world is she going to be able to put some kind of vaccine together and save the whole world in the last 5 minutes? It's not going to happen. Like, she's thinking crazy right now. So what was going on wasn't rational at that point. So really, is that what's happening? Or is this all in her mind? Because most of what was going on in those 5 episodes were Scully's things that she was, fears that she had, struggles that she was having.
Yeah,
I mean, a lot of stuff happened to her in those 5 episodes. I mean, yes, Mulder was involved, and yes, other things were going on, but those were significant things going on in her life. And you could see how Mulder and her were opposite what they were in the other series. You know, she was believing and he was not. Like, he was having doubt where she wasn't. And
yeah,
it could go either way. And that just leaves, you know, you to interpret what was really going on until next season.
Yeah.
So I like that. I like thinking about it.
I've got a couple of ideas to think about. Like, I love that you bring up 24 because I didn't think about that. Like, I didn't think about that. Like, Fox has made this move to try to make sort of like almost, you know, English style series of short, few episode type of things, especially for all these series that they're bringing back. And when you look at that, then suddenly you're like, ooh, maybe this miniseries makes a little bit more sense.
Right.
I wonder if our analysis on a weekly basis for the podcast maybe put us in a different mood when we got to this thing. Like, maybe we because we read so far into all the episodes, we read more than we should have.
I feel like you're trying way too hard to justify the fact this was just a crap episode, maybe.
Here's the point. If you notice how TV is going now, most series that are doing well are series like on HBO that are 10 episodes, or series on Netflix that are like 10 or 13 episodes. There's a shorter amount of episodes. TV, network TV used to have like 22 episodes. And yeah. David Duchovny even said, I would do another season, but I don't think at this point in my life I could do 22 episodes.
Right.
That's why Fox was like, okay, this is the what's working for the off networks like Netflix and HBO. Maybe we should try that. We need to bring ratings up. So let's bring our 3 biggest shows back, see what sticks. And if they stick, then maybe we'll bring them back as a series. That's what the whole premise was for that. And X-Files, of course, was one of their biggest. Their ratings were through the roof. I have no doubt that they'll bring it back. Now, are they going to bring it back in 20 episodes? Probably not. It might be like a 10 episode. And I think Chris Carter, again, said he had more episodes lined up for this season, but they could only do 6 due to those things. So I think they just try to pack so much in that last episode. And yeah, there was a point where I can see, yes, there was part of it that was a cluster crap. But to me, I still was satisfied.
Yeah.
Okay. It was a big clusterfuck, but I still enjoyed it.
Wow, she really upgraded that, didn't she?
Sorry.
I wonder if this means I'm going to get my Party of 5 reunion 6 episode season if Fox is doing this.
Anything is possible.
Yeah.
I will say
everything back now.
I was a huge 24 fan. I enjoyed when they brought 24 back. I just thought it was a decent season, but I thought it was a pretty weak season. I would say overall, I like what they did with the X-Files better than the return of 24.
I've got an interesting question to pose to Annie. If this episode, if the finale episode ended and we saw the spaceship and then we saw inside the spaceship and it was William and then they cut and then they said to be continued, like the end of Back to the Future, would that have made this episode fine?
It, or at least, yes. Yeah. Yes. 100, okay. Yes. Yeah. I mean, I still would have nitpicked all the bullshit that I hated about it before the ending.
Oh, totally,
but
totally.
I would have been excited for the next season. And, you know, honestly, Charlie, they didn't even need the to be continued. They didn't even need that. All they needed was to show fucking William on that ship, and I would have been fine. I would have been fine.
No, and that's what I we definitely have. I'm not making an excuse, but we've definitely analyzed it, and I think that what Christine was saying about like a little bit of everything in all the other episodes, there was a little bit of the arc in all the other episodes. All those little bits to us definitely felt like William. So so we and I think talking to Christine, that's why we're disappointed, is because
okay. I want to mention something about
that. Yeah.
The blue balls of television.
In watching all of the previous seasons, and again, you may not agree with me, the main premises of why Mulder was in the X-Files or why he started investigating UFOs was because of his sister. It took 7 seasons for him even to, like, really get into what happened to his sister, and you never ever did see her. She was just a clone. So to me, William is like the new sister. That is like the whole reason why they're doing everything and why it keeps getting brought up. But I wasn't disappointed we weren't seeing William.
I think, and I might have mentioned this before, I know I've thought it, and I think the difference is once William came about in season 8, it was the driving force behind the story, because it was happening to Scully and to Mulder. And it was their kid, and it felt like it had far more weight to me than this pie in the sky quest that Mulder has been on his entire life. It was, our kid is real and here, and he's being taken away, and all this stuff is happening right now to us. And it was like the main driving force of the story. Whereas before with Samantha, you know, we'd hear about her every 7 episodes, we'd hear something about her, and it was always that little sort of MacGuffin, like, okay, you know, that they're saving that for the end of the show. But that's not how they treated William. They never treated him that way. He was always a character. He was in our faces. He was he was part of the show. And then to take him away and continually tease that over and over and over again is just not, I don't know. That's just, it just feels different to me.
But again,
I see what you're saying, but
kinda,
it feels different.
It's kind of like the cake, like moonlighting. Like, the whole time they kind of teased that, were they or were they not going to get together? Well, once they got together, the show kind of fizzled. They only had 6 episodes to get everything that they wanted to get in. So I think they had to mention him. Like, again, I still don't know. Is this what was going on all along, or is this a psychosis in her head? If it's in her head, a big part of her feelings of guilt and failure is losing William and giving mm-hmm. him away. I think so it's like the unattainable.
Well, that's another thing too. It affects her character and it bothers me, because it's like, poor Scully, stop having her be so beaten down about this. Like, either end the William story, give me my Scully back, you know? It's like,
but if they did, she doesn't know what he looks like as an adult. So if they just show this guy at the end and then it's not really what's happening, it's a psychosis, she wouldn't know what her own child would look like. It's just like things to think about. Like,
I'm sure there's a way to do it.
I think he would have to say like mom or something like that, or dad, you know?
Yeah, there's a way to do it. But you're right. I mean, if you keep bringing up this whole psychosis thing, if that's the case, if that's what they're going for, then yeah, I mean, in retrospect, that would change a lot. But
right. And I'm
but
hoping
like
that's
a,
not
like
what a, it is. I'm hoping this is what really is going on. I'm just saying it could be one thing or the other, or a totally different thing that I haven't thought about yet.
Yeah, I still think they meant to do it like that, and then they go, oh, wait, this has been done before. So they just cut off the part where they find out that they've been in a dream, and then they're like, oh, this is what it is.
Right. I don't know. That seems
I don't think William was even in the ship. I don't think William was in the ship anyway. That's my, well,
see,
my
I mean, and it, that's like, yeah, you're probably, you could totally be right. I'm like, there's no way to know. And that, I think that was their mistake.
Yeah.
Maybe William was the ship.
Ooh. Whatever that
means. Not, I'm not suggesting that they end this show with, you know, happy reunion, everyone's flowers and butterflies and William's back. I'm not suggesting that. I'm just saying it's not the kind of thing you can keep dicking us around with, like, especially when we don't know there's another season. Like,
yeah,
again and again and again. It's exhausting and it's depressing, too, because, like I said, it's different. It's their kid and it's I don't know. I, like you said, Charlie, if we had seen, other than the mention of William, or even like you said, if they hadn't been teasing us with William the entire season, and she had just said at the end, we need William, we need his, then I would have been like, oh shit, they're going to bring back William. I would have been so excited. But they already excited me with that from the first episode.
Yeah.
And so
no,
I thought we were going to see him before the end. And so to have to wait again is just cruel.
And I guess also, I'm like on a different plane where I honestly don't think William should be in the picture at this point. That's, it really wasn't a big thing for me to, for them to get their kid back.
Well, it's because not I for me William either. I totally agree with you. If they hadn't mentioned him at all and had just wrapped him up as being adopted out and we never talk about that again, great. Great. Don't keep hounding on it though.
Yeah. I also think that by reordering it a little bit, putting that founder's gene or whatever as the second episode, that really felt like William was almost in that episode. And so right off the bat, we get two episodes, one where she talks about giving away her baby, and then one where it's like, you know, it almost felt like behind one of those doors was going to be William. That gave us expectations that were then just increased as the episode, as the season went on.
Right. Agreed.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think, and we want to, we thank Christine for a fun look. Cause I know that two of us are really, really kind of angry. So it's really nice to have somebody for Nick to gang up with. So that way it's, you know, we balance a little bit better.
Yeah. And you're not nearly yelling at her as much as you did to me. Maybe.
Well, cause I don't know her. Yeah. I know you. Yeah. I can, Nick, yell at you.
It's easy to yell at Nick. Trust me. I do that like every time I talk to him, I think. But he's,
I'm not
doing
mad at you,
stuff
Christine.
That's wrong.
I'm just pissed at the show.
That's okay. I know. And I'm not trying to change your mind. I'm just telling
no,
you.
No.
I guess I see it from different eyes. And I was
just
okay
like
with
Nick.
It. I'm okay if William never, ever comes back. I have my own theory on what happened to William. Who has them and all of that. So
I want to hear it.
I'm okay.
Hear it.
I honestly think that the Smoking Man has William, and that Annabeth Gish's character, I think she raised him with Smoking Man. And I think now he's, you know, I think they know where he is, but I don't think he's in that ship.
Oh, if she did that, that would almost redeem her character too.
Oh my God, no, not at all. She's a horrible person.
No.
That's horrible.
No. If she was there and she realized that she could be the buffer,
protector,
William,
yeah,
and the Smoking Man.
I mean, do you honestly think that the William was just adopted out and he's fine living off and living with his powers with a normal couple?
No,
I honestly,
no, I don't think that. I think something's going on.
I honestly think that the Smoking Man has him and had him all along, and I think he took her on, you know, offered her the cure, and he also needed somebody to be like a mother figure.
Be the mom, yeah.
I'm not saying that's what happened, but that's,
yeah,
my theory.
No, totally.
And I think the Smoking Man sent that ship for Mulder. I don't think that was meant for him.
Interesting.
Yeah. No, I like it. I mean, like I said, you might not feel it, but if that was her way of getting in there and then protecting the child a little bit, because she has a connection to the child because she was there when it was born, she's always kind of been sort of its protector, then this is a way for her to get in there again. And to me, if that's the motivation, that gives her the motivation that we felt she didn't have and made that decision horrible when we didn't know about that motivation.
I could agree with that. I could see that.
Yeah. And like, I love that. And if it isn't, then he needs to rewrite it and make it that. You know what I mean? Like we are giving him ways to solve these problems. So he just do it. You know what I mean? Like it's interesting. It's definitely interesting to see that. Like for me, it's one of the more interesting things is the fact that X-Files Files hasn't had a new episode since the season ended.
Yeah, what is going on? I mean, I haven't even heard Kumail make any comment on what he thinks of the series, which makes me think he hated it, honestly. Yeah.
Well, the last thing I heard from him was he tweeted something the day after the second to last episode that about like, hey, here's a novel idea. I have a Muslim who isn't a terrorist in a play or a movie kind of thing. And so it was just like, whoa, this is really kind of...
It was kind of a snarky comment. Right.
Yeah.
It was he could barely contain himself. But I've been wondering the same thing.
I was like,
where is the X-Files Files? What is going on? Why hasn't he told us what's going on?
Yeah.
And it's weird.
The one thing that I do have to say, though, is that I haven't seen him do his other podcast either. So it also could just be something that maybe he's involved with something. Or
maybe just some personal stuff.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But come on, I mean, send out a tweet or something.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, geez. Weird.
But we have to thank him. You know, we still thank him for the podcast that he did before because it really got at least me back into the X-Files in time and ready for this. I do.
We have to thank him.
Yes. Yes. Also, I think, you know, if we ignore the fact that we didn't like the finale, he also is part of the reason the season came back, I think. I think his podcast.
That's what I mean.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. Yeah, no. I think we do. I really enjoyed the
If it weren't for
werewolf
him, I wouldn't
episode.
Be feeling all this bitter rage and resentment.
I know. But I really enjoyed the werewolf episode. And if that's all we got, that would have been fine.
Yes. Yeah. I loved that episode. That was awesome episode.
I thought that one and the one right after it were great.
Yeah.
Great episodes.
Oh, okay. So here's the other thing, Christine.
Okay.
Let's talk about it because I know that when we were talking, you mentioned the idea that you really do think they were going to try to spin Einstein and Miller off.
Yes.
Yeah.
I do believe that since before they even did the series and David said, you know, they couldn't do the amount that I think there was like 13 that they wanted to do, 10 or 13. And I think they were thinking, I think they kind of knew this was going to take off. So they brought Einstein and Miller in as kind of like Annabeth Gish and who was the other guy? Robert Patrick, when they kind of like took over in season 9 a little bit. I think they were trying to do the same thing. Personally, I don't like that. I don't mind if they're on the show, but you can't have the show without Mulder and
Either
Scully.
Of them. Yeah, I agree.
Either of them. And even if they like kind of put it in, you know, in different aspects, like Scully went into Skinner's job or something like that. But Einstein and Miller alone on the show, I like the guy who plays Miller. I did not like Einstein at all. It's just not, it just would fizzle out. It wouldn't have the same heart in the show.
No, and I don't think, honestly, not to be crazy harsh, but I don't think that they have the ability to make a show with anchored by them be good enough. Like the writers, everyone involved. it would fall.
Well, the whole reason why I think it did so well is because so many people from back in the day came back to watch it. They came back to watch Mulder and Scully and Skinner and people like that. They didn't come back to watch a new revamped show with
the next generation.
Correct. So I don't think that would go well. Me personally. But maybe some young kids out there would love it. I don't know.
I think everybody would. I feel bad for Amell because he keeps getting these parts that are only like bit parts in TV shows that are awesome. You know what I mean? Like and they keep being like, okay, you're going to come into this awesome TV show and then we're going to have you leave again. And you're like, no, just let him stay.
At least he gets to do movies. I mean, I think he's got a good career going on. I loved Tad O'Malley. I thought he was a great addition.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
I loved him, and I, you know, part of my thing about the X-Files that I always loved was Smoking Man's relationship with Mulder. So I loved that they brought Smoking Man back. I didn't care how they made sure he came back to life. I loved that he was part of the show. The only person I missed was Krycek. I know he really died, but I was like, man, if they could bring him back somehow, that would be awesome.
He really died, but Smoking Man did.
No. Having all your flesh ripped off and your bones burned, that's livable.
Yeah, no, he cool. He cool.
He's gone.
He got more hurt being in a wheelchair pushed down the stairs than he did by the nuclear bomb or whatever it was that said.
Apparently.
I did find this interesting. I went back because I did watch the finale before watching this series. And you guys said something about the date, the 2012 thing. Mm-hmm. In the ninth season, the Smoking Man does tell Mulder and Scully that December 22nd, 2012 is when they were going to recolonize the aliens. And that episode was named William, which I thought was interesting.
No, that wasn't. That episode was called The Truth.
True. Well, there was an episode named William.
That was the fourth one from the end.
don't try to test any of the episode names.
Well, I'll have to go read back and look because I looked this up. And they never really did it because that syndicate got down. But he's doing it in his. But that's where that 2012, I think, came from, because that's when they wanted to do it, but it never got done. And that's why he just started setting it off in this year.
The thing, again, this whole conversation, but that bothered me is that he had to bring up the whole thing about the Mayan calendar, which is apparently ancient, is obviously ancient, that the Mayans were so afraid of this date that that's when they ended their calendar. Okay, so if this threat was that old, why would the blowing up of 15 guys end it?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't mesh. It doesn't make sense. It's just stuff they threw out to fit that doesn't make sense. Like, yeah. I agree.
Let's move on to the next topic, because if not, we're just going to start circling around and around.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the history of TV finales. And how they compare to the X-Files quote unquote finale.
And I want to say, Nick, too, what we were talking about the other day. You're absolutely right. I mean, this conversation is going to be very interesting, but it won't have any bearing if we get more episodes.
Right. See, that's my thing. I have a really, really hard time with this topic because it's hard for me to feel that this was a finale. So. For the purpose of this topic, I am putting myself in the mindset that this was a finale. And it was interesting because when you brought up that you wanted to do this as a topic on the show, for the first time, I kind of put myself in that mindset. And what I told you guys before this show was that if that is the case, it totally changes my idea of the episode 6 of season 10 that we just saw. Like, you know, I love that episode. I really do. I thoroughly enjoyed that episode. However, if it honestly is a series finale we never get anymore, I hate it. I think it's awful.
Is Christine, would you agree with Nick? If we never get any more, would you be happy with that episode?
Yes. And the reason why I say that is because it's kind of like, I'm a thinker, not a feeler, first of all. So I don't mind that if they don't do any more, I can think about what did happen and write my own story in my head on what happened. I'm okay with that. It's better than them saying, you know, like the Full House demo that you kind of brought up where they were just like, oh, you're canceled, and so you didn't get any closure. You might not have got the closure you wanted, but it still was up for interpretation. To me,
see, and I think that's what we're going to start talking about here is I think there is a way to, if this was a series finale, there's a way to do it right, and there's a way the X-Files did it. If this was a series finale, I don't feel this gave us closure, mostly for and I know you disagree, Christine, because about the William point that Annie and I kind of harp on a little bit. We needed that payoff about William, and Annie needed the actual payoff. I'm okay with the tease of a payoff to come, but I still need William. And to me, I'm really excited that hopefully the next chapter of the story is going to get us to William. Again, if they don't, I may be upset in the future, but that's for the future to worry about.
We should mention here, 5 weeks out, still no word.
Still no word.
Anything.
Nothing. So
And Fuller House got renewed like 2 days after the episodes right. dropped.
So
I'm not 100% convinced.
Right.
I mean, I'm, 90% convinced, but I'm not fully there. I feel like they're again blowing it if they're not going to announce close to
when
it was really hot and popular. Yeah. Nobody's going to care. Like,
so going on the mindset that this was a series finale again, the first TV show that jumps into my mind that was like a popular pop culture drama like this that ended on a cliffhanger, let you draw your own conclusions, would have to be The Sopranos. And that is the very first one that comes to mind for me. And because that completely ended with that ending that you're uncertain. You're uncertain. You feel it could go either way. And you, as a fan of the show, you could be okay with either ending that happens. Does Tony get it in the end, or was nothing really going to happen there? Was there no hitman?
And I'm with Christine here.
In what way?
That full disclaimer, I did not watch The Sopranos, but I did watch that last episode, and my husband watches Sopranos, so he told me a lot. Mm-hmm. And he said that the episode before the finale, Tony and Bobby were in a boat and they were having a conversation, and Bobby said something about how when it all ends, it just feels like a cut to black.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, that's pretty cut and dried.
Do you think it was cut and dry? Yeah.
I don't think it was a cliffhanger. Yeah. I think that it's pretty clear what happened.
Well,
and
even,
I think, in a way, it was kind of perfect.
Okay. Well, even if... but it didn't have to show you. And again, that's... So, again, that is the perfect way to do it. It doesn't have to show you the actual outcome.
But you're talking
point.
About
you have
the
to
very,
work at it.
You're talking about the very last moment.
Yes.
And the problem that we have, I think, with the finale of season 10, if it's the finale, is it didn't answer any of the questions that
No, I know. And
me, yeah, there's 40 minutes preceding that did absolutely
Look,
nothing for me.
We're all coming up with examples here. That's mine. I'm only comparing it to the very end. I'm sure you guys have a ton more examples that
can help you with that. No, this is what we're supposed to do.
That was a great example, Nick.
Comparing and contrasting. That's a great example. But the storylines that had happened through the seasons, including that season, were kind of more wrapped up, and the family was sort of at a stasis point at that moment.
Right.
And
right.
then that happened. Whereas on The X-Files, it sort of was like, and we don't know what's going on. So I'm going to bring up my finale. And the finale I'm going to talk about is this little sci-fi TV show on Fox called The X-Files. Do you remember when it... Okay, and Christine has just watched this before this. But okay, nobody liked that last season. But when we rewatched that this last summer and saw the finale and saw how neatly it tied a bow on every little thing. And on top of it, it did the thing that we were just talking about, which is we don't necessarily know what's in it for Mulder and Scully, but they're kind of together in a room and they have a future in front of them, but they're together. So we kind of can assume what is going to stuff. It leaves the door open for all that thought about what they could do in the future.
That's the thinking
but
I
it's
like.
Tied stuff in the past. Yeah.
The possibilities are endless. Like with that scenario. I agree with you, Charlie. That's a good, like I said earlier, I think that they did a better job with that one. Although I will say that finale was pretty boring, but they did do a good job of, kind of wrapping it up and at least leaving you with a little bit of like, satisfaction that I can now move on with my life.
Is gone. It's boring because it's doing whatever the opposite of exposition is, postposition or whatever. You know, I mean, like, it's basically just sitting down and going, and this is how the conspiracy is all wrapped up. This was what actually mattered in all the pieces of the conspiracy. That's what that trial was right. Hey, we're going to talk about Krychek. We're going to talk about the black oil. We're going to talk about William. We're going to talk about Samantha. We're going to tell you all the parts that actually happened and that were actually meaningful. And then boom.
And we're going to prove to you, we did know what the fuck we were doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's a really good example. You know, I was going to bring up something rather obvious of a good finale, which is Breaking Bad, but hang on, I'm going to get back to that. First, before I do, I wanted to mention Lost, because we have to bring up Lost.
Yeah.
And I think Lost tonally was not 100% successful, because I don't think it was what people were expecting, but I think they did the opposite of what the X-Files did, in that they didn't do like post-exposition or whatever you were calling it. They didn't do that. Let's wrap every little thing up in a tidy neat bow. And I liked that about Lost, because to me, as somebody who watched the entire series at least 10 times, all of those little questions were answered to my satisfaction. The answers were there. You just had to look for them. And so for them to kind of lay it out for you at the end would have been really disappointing. And they kind of tried to do that. I don't know if you guys got a chance to see the epilogue.
No, I did.
Yeah, it was like, was it like New Man in Charge or something? It was on the DVDs. And it was like their attempt. It was so funny because I actually talked to Damon about this. And he said, Damon Lindelof. And he said, this was kind of our attempt to like
name drop.
Wrap up. Sorry, I had to name drop. Wrap up these stories, you know, to people's satisfaction. But, you know, I'm not quoting him, but at the same time, it was kind of a fuck you. Like, here, you want answers? Here's your fucking answers. Like,
was that the video that
happy with them.
Had the polar bear food drop off scene and stuff?
Yeah, okay. Where Michael comes and
Yeah. Which is Michael. All stuff you could have figured out with your own brain, you know?
Yeah.
All of the pieces were there for you.
I want to be on record for saying that I enjoyed the finale of Lost also.
I did too.
For what it was. It wasn't what I necessarily thought I wanted, but I saw what they were trying to do, and I appreciated it.
Okay. Yeah, I loved it as well. But see, this goes to a greater feel that I appreciate the story the creator is telling me. I may not like the methods at times, but I always I don't like to argue with the way a storyteller tells their story or how the story they tell, I guess I should say.
So let's go into this conversation here then, because this was going to be my question to you.
Oh, well, I guess it kind of was, I guess, in a way.
It's exactly my question, because my question is, what responsibility, if any, does I'll just say an artist. I mean, this could be true for an artist, a singer, a songwriter, you know, a poet, a TV show runner. What sort of responsibility do they have to their audience? And I think you kind of just answered that. You don't think they have any. And I agree with you. I think on the face of it, they don't have any responsibility. You're an artist. You could do whatever you want and hope people like it, or don't give a shit if people like it.
Right.
I think in certain situations, though, such as The X-Files, which is a huge audience and a very vocal audience, and with such a legacy, I have to use the word legacy because this show has a huge legacy. Don't you think it's wise to share a little bit of responsibility, or to take a little bit of responsibility for what your fans think?
Well, that's kind of a little bit of a different question to me. You're right. I don't think an artist needs to, has any real responsibility to their fans, because I think once you start worrying about that, it hurts your art and you're not able to give the vision that you really want to give. And I don't think you should necessarily be molded by what people are expecting of you.
I agree. And you also can't please everybody.
Right.
Which is true. So no matter what you do, you're going to disappoint some people.
So here's the deal. I think Lost falls kind of along that. That is a story they decided to tell. Take it or leave it. And you could argue with it, but don't say they were wrong or anything like that. They did what they did. Now you may do it differently. I really don't want to get into an actual discussion about this, but this is why I like the Star Wars prequels. They were the story George Lucas wanted to tell, and he told it. You may not like the way he told it, but I still think as a Star Wars fan, those are the stories that he decided to tell, and I still appreciate those stories, and I still appreciate those characters. Now, would I visually have liked to see the stories differently? Would I like to see them be better films? Yes.
Right. I think we all can agree that the execution could have been better, right? We all agree about that. Mm-hmm. But let's just go to the heart of the stories, right?
Here's something that I want to add.
Go ahead.
I think being on like Fox or ABC or CBS, I don't think... You know, as far as the responsibility goes, Revolution, I'm going to use as a perfect example. The storytellers, the writers wanted to write a certain way, but the network sometimes would say, no, that's not what we want. And so they'd have to scramble back into the writer's room and rewrite it how they wanted it to be written. The other thing is a lot of people that are on Twitter or Tinder, you know, all those different social media
Tinder?
Sites.
Not Tinder.
Not Tinder. I meant Twitter. Whoa. Tumblr.
Do you guys think Chris Carter's on Tinder?
Is he married?
Sorry, continue, Christine. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, the fans are always like saying what they want to happen. And then later on, the writers would say, you know, after Revolution was canceled and people would ask questions like, you know, what did you think of Charlo or whatever? The writers said they never went on those sites. They never read fan fiction. They really, you know, they had the story that was in their head and that's what they wrote. And then when the networks didn't, you know, like it, they had to rewrite it. So I don't know as far as this X-Files thing goes. He had more episodes written, had it written a certain way, had it all storyboarded out. And then they were said, hey, you only have 6 episodes. You have to figure out how to get everything you want to get into these 6 episodes. So, yes, some of the writing was crappy. We can all agree on that. But sometimes it's out of their control on what they can actually give you on screen. Now,
You're totally right. I think you're right. And I think that's what makes this different from a lot of different kinds of art, because they don't have complete control a lot of the time.
And with Lost, ABC did a rare thing where they gave them a certain amount of seasons and said, no matter what the ratings are, we're going to let you finish out these seasons.
Right.
Where the way TV goes now, they put you a series, it goes on for 2 weeks, and then they're like, okay, it's canceled. And then you never get to see the end of it. Mm-hmm. So for me, I more will watch something like on Netflix that I know has been on for a certain amount of seasons, or is something I can binge. Or HBO, you know, that's going to treat the series that they get better.
Yeah.
On Fox, ABC, CBS, NBC, they don't treat series well. So when they try to introduce a new series, I'm like, I'm not even going to bother with it.
Not even going to risk it. Yeah.
But with the X-Files, I think that's what Fox was trying to do. I think they were trying to bring back their top-rated shows to see if they could get a new generation and the old generation interested in it. And unfortunately, they could only do it in 6 episodes. And, you know, the story that they were trying to tell was kind of jammed together. So I can see where you're coming from, where you're saying they have a responsibility to the viewers. But at the same time, I think their hands are tied to a certain point where they're doing everything they can to get it in to what they can. And that's all they got. You know, they can't, make one.
But I mean, that's just kind of making excuses for them. Like, you know, you have 6 episodes. You know you have 6 episodes. You have a responsibility as a writer to make a cohesive story that's going to make sense, that people are going to like. And there were just way too many things about this season that were not right. Like, I look at and say, great, 6. There's only 6. They should all be really, really good episodes.
Yeah.
You know? And I just don't... Yes, to a certain extent,
me,
their hands are tied. But,
And I'm one of the viewers that was satisfied and thought that they were. And I, for the most part, with the ratings, I I think other people did as well. I mean, again, I can agree that last episode, and that's why I'm like, what is that, what really happened or not? Because towards the end, I'm like, what the heck is going on? She's out of her mind at this point. So it's almost, and again, working with people with mental illness, I'm thinking this is some kind of psychosis. This can't be what's going on. And if that's what really is going on, then yeah, the writing was really poor there, but I can see it in two different ways.
Can I put it this way? And Charlie always makes fun of me for saying something like this. Well, no, because I'm okay. See, I'm able to fully enjoy something even if I know some of the execution was bad. Now, Annie will say, with all the great television, there is such amazing television. This is like a golden age of television. So there's so much better stuff to watch. But so there is no excuse per se, but
I don't agree with that. I agree that there's great television like on AMC or HBO, but I really don't think we have excellent television on the I guess Fox, ABC, CBS, that type of stuff.
No, maybe not. No, but I mean,
I don't really
Breaking Bad on AMC. I mean, AMC matters. Has some great stuff.
I think that they have. I mean, the X-Files has some of the greatest people on its team, and it should be better. I mean, it should be up to par.
No, and that's fine, and that's good, but that doesn't necessarily, like, okay, maybe I can enjoy it at another level, but like I still enjoyed it. Like, I still thoroughly enjoyed it. Going back to kind of the finales, I do want to bring this up because I think although I say they don't have a responsibility necessarily that they have to do stuff for the fans, I do enjoy the moments where they decide to really do fan service. And I think one of the great TV series finales that I've ever watched was Parenthood, which was on NBC. I think they just ended it last year. And they did such an amazing job in their finale. They built up to it. It wasn't rushed, and they gave you a real fan service in there where they took you to each kind of member of the family, and they actually like ended it all kind of in a happy area. They gave closure at least to all the stories. One of the main characters actually even passed away in the finale, but the way they did it was they didn't necessarily leave you on that. That was part of it. They built up to it. It happened, and people dealt with it and moved on. It was just such a good ending. Like, it was emotional. It was happy. It was sad. It was everything you'd want a series finale to be, and it left the families where you can imagine them going on and, you know, growing and having a future.
Yeah, I'm kind of like, I didn't watch that show. I've read that that is a very great finale. I've read that, and like it's in all like the top 10 lists and everything.
Is but it like, okay?
Wow. I want to be like, what's so wrong with that? Just, I mean, like, I know a lot of people might be like, well, the X-Files is not like that. Mm-hmm. The X-Files is a different show. You can't end everybody happily or whatever. And I'm just like, well, why not? Why can't you?
Right.
Why can't you do something just to give them a break? You know, and again, it is hard to talk about this knowing that if we might get more or whatever, but like, it's, I don't know, it's frustrating.
Tell us about Breaking Bad. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I will go to Breaking Bad real quick, but I wanted to say, when you were talking back about the prequels, and you said you respect George Lucas and you want to hear what he has to say and what's coming from his mind is, you know, canon, or you like, and I'm kind of the mind that I have far more loyalty to Star Wars and the characters than I do to George Lucas. You know?
Okay.
Just like I have far more loyalty to Mulder and Scully than I do to Chris Carter. I have absolutely no, there's nothing in my mind that's like, I'm going to defend him no matter what he says because he's God, or like George Lucas is God. And like, you know, I would rather my characters that are now mine, they have become mine and yours and everybody's because they have been allowed to become ours, do something that, you know, makes sense and people enjoy.
I think it would be different if he made The Force Awakens and it sucked. I mean, that would be a little different, because those are your characters. These were kind of new stories and characters in a different place and time.
We can't get bogged down with prequel talk.
I was just bringing up the loyalty factor.
But like, I don't defend his filmmaking. But I don't defend his filmmaking. It was horrible. It was horrible filmmaking. And Chris Carter, in this case, you're right. I mean, he wrote some bad scripts, horrible scripts.
Right.
I want to bring up now one of the finales that I just remembered when we were talking about Parenthood. That was an interesting way of ending it, was 6 Feet Under. At the end of 6 Feet Under, they had a main character die as part of the series, but then what they did, and because it was about a funeral home and everything, the last part of the last episode, they basically flash forwarded to the deaths of each of the other characters. And so you got this cool, like,
I've heard about this. Yeah. I've never seen this show, but this is another one that I hear about as just being a really great finale.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, some people died in their sleep. Some people died this way, but when they died, you could see where they were and who was with them and what was going on. And, you know, cool. Some of them were quick, but then some of them were like, hey, this person lived till they were 89 or something like that. Like, it was really interesting.
What was the best death?
Oh, I don't know off the top of my head. It's been so long.
Right.
But there were. They're like, you know, there's ones where, you know, the one died in bed with his husband. And so that, but then you saw the husband die later or something. You know, like it was interesting.
Here, I'm going to bring up Breaking Bad real quick because, you know, besides being, you know, inarguably the greatest show ever made, right? Right. We can all agree.
Probably agree hopefully. With that.
It was a really, really, really good send-off that was true to all the characters. And it wasn't like everything was happy, you know? It was a drama, so not everything was happy, but it was like, you know, Walt is the anti-hero. And so he ended in a way that you expected. And every single character kind of ended in a way that was true to their character. And I think this was like my biggest problem again with X-Files, which I talked about over and over, is that like Scully, even Christine, you were admitting, wasn't acting like herself. She was just out of her damn mind. Mulder didn't give two shits about Scully the entire finale. He's just off on his own doing his own thing. It didn't honor those characters.
And now this is interesting, because I've also heard that a lot of people potentially think that the true finale of Breaking Bad was the second to last episode, and that the finale episode could potentially just be all in the mind of the main character as he's dying, because it shows happinesses for all the other characters to a degree.
It's not really, though. Well, I mean Hank is still dead.
Has there ever
Skyler's
been
reduced to living in a shanty apartment?
Right? Has there ever been a television show where people haven't said, you know what? If you look at it a different way, that could have all been a dream.
Right. Or at least especially Charlie is always
every that. Single television show. Next, you're going to be telling me like Bob Newhart ended that way.
How did the end of the second to last episode? How did that end, Ben?
I don't know. I'm just repeating something I heard.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. And nobody got Nick's joke because we're all younger than him.
Right. I got it.
That's good. Okay, so sorry. Everybody got Nick's joke, didn't appreciate it, so they did it like...
It's been done to death.
Oh.
Well, that's the one they always bring up, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all a dream.
And
it's the, all a dream was brought to you by Bobby Ewing from Dallas. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Inside a snow globe held by a kid.
It's not Men in Black.
Which, again, let's say, once and for all, was not the case with Lost. Okay.
No. Yes, please. Please. Everybody needs to know that the whole thing didn't take place in purgatory. They didn't die on that original plane crash. Please know that. No,
please understand.
Oh, I fight people all daily about that. Anyways.
PSA.
Yeah, yeah. The more you know. So I think we've had a relatively good conversation about this. I know it's getting late for us. Let's move. Can we move on to the fun
Monster Madness?
Yes.
Okay. So what we did was we put together a single elimination tournament style comparison of 32 of the monsters from X-Files. And we put it up last week on our Facebook. And in the next couple of days, we'll put up the next round. All the winners from this round will go on to compete with other winners in the next round. So we just wanted to go over what the winners were.
Well, I'm excited to hear this.
Yeah, yeah. Now, remember, we probably won't come back for another month. So the tournament will be done by the time we get back. So make sure you check our Facebook page on a regular basis. It's Facebook.com/X-Files Diaries, so you can make sure you vote in all the rounds.
Yep.
Round one for the Evil Pet Shop Division. Ice Worm completely beat out Washing Machine Jellyfish.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Although I do have to say, every single thing on our list got at least one vote.
Okay, interesting.
And from years that running the Destination Finalmation polls that Nick and I have done, we've decided that if everybody gets at least one vote, you've done a fairly successful nomination sequence. Okay.
Yes. Now, yeah. I do need to say this real quick. Annie, if you hadn't seen the polls, or if you just kind of rushed through, Annie did an amazing job of putting those little captions in for all the monsters. That was worth taking the poll just for that.
Thanks. I fueled all my rage into it.
Yeah. Now, does she have to come up with new ones for the next set?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I'll try. Okay. Well, it's the same ones, though. So
yeah, I know. No, I'm just joking. Probably not.
Okay. By the narrowest margin, there's a couple that hit a similar narrow margin. The next one is Wen Shang Dehole. Dehole, I guess, technically is what it is, right? I was trying to pronounce it like it was like some foreign language. Beat the Invisible Elephant.
Oh,
yeah.
That sounds about right.
I was hoping for the elephant, though. And the elephant, the elephant was the lower seed there.
Yeah. Anyway.
I think I voted for the elephant.
I think I did, too, actually. Killer Cockroaches beat Big Blue from Cat Quagmire.
Yes.
Okay, that's fair.
And overwhelmingly, Jesus Banana Slug beat the Attack Cats.
Oh, those poor kitties.
Yep. So now moving on to bracket classic baddies. Eugene Toombs beat Humbug.
That sounds right.
Fluke Man beat the Great Mutato.
Was that one close?
No.
Really? Okay.
Not at all. Throat Buster Creature beat Scary Gray Alien, which I get.
Oh. That was close. I was surprised that was close.
Yeah.
And then Ronnie Strickland from Bad Blood beat the Mud Monster from Arcadia.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yep. Human to animal to human categories. Phyllis Paddock beat out Rob Roberts.
Okay.
Definitely.
She's really creepy.
Oh, she's so creepy. Yeah.
Guy Man Good number from one season seed, 10 beat out Greg Pincus.
Oh, okay, cool. A season 10 monster.
Actually, there's a second one, too. Band-Aid Man beat out Ellen Adderley.
Okay, fair.
Soundly. And then, ooh, look at this.
Well, people don't remember that episode.
Jersey Devil beat Up the Butt Guy.
Probably because everybody hates season 8 so much.
But that was another really close margin. It was almost
the guy crawls up people's butts.
Yeah, I don't remember that episode, and I'm kind of glad.
What were they smoking that week?
I don't know. Christine, do you remember that episode?
I do not.
All right, that's probably good.
He rolled around on like a squeaky cart. It was like it was creepy.
Trading Places, but
it was really bad. Don't watch it.
No. And then the fourth category, the fourth bracket is Inanimate Evil. We have Jodie Foster Tattoo beating the Evil Computer from Ghost in a Machine.
That's like an upset, I think, because I think the computer was the number one seed.
Oh, well, that was really dumb by whoever put that seed together.
Yeah, sorry.
No.
I don't really understand, like, seeding. Sorry.
No, and something like this, seeding is pointless.
It doesn't really matter.
The evil Hokey Pokey doll beat the Mushroom Monster. This is a personal devastation and an upset for me.
Oh, you do love that Mushroom Monster.
Yeah.
But dolls are always the freakiest.
Oh, yes.
Dolls will always win.
Black Oil pretty soundly beat Scully's Cancer.
What?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And
Scully.
And the Tree Bug Swarm from Darkness Falls was defeated by Chris Carter.
Yay! I was about to get really, really disappointed.
Me too.
You swapped that around on me there.
Unlike the season finale of episode 10 of The X-Files, our poll ends correctly. So check out the Facebook in the next couple of days and look for the next round. We'll probably speed this up so we can kind of get through it before March actually ends.
I think March Madness ends on Monday.
Okay, so
we can maybe do 2 days.
We're going to push on a little bit. Yeah. But make sure you vote for your favorites in each thing, and go then vote. We're going to see who the actual most monstrous monster is by the end of this category. By the end of this voting session. That would be hilarious. If that happened, we'd need to like write up a formal a press release kind of thing, and just do it to the according to our polls that that kind of thing, and then we can trend on Twitter or something like that. Now on Twitter and on Facebook, Nick, those Disney minifigs are trending, are the top trending thing in my little trending box.
Wow.
I saw that too, actually.
Yep.
Anyways, quite a tangent, but okay.
Yeah. We want to really thank Christine for dropping by. If you want to hear more from Christine, just find her on Twitter. She's at Scorpio1080. Thank you very much for dropping by and listening to us talk about all these crazy things. And for doing your research too, listening to those past two episodes so you knew where we stood. We really appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks.
You're very welcome.
Thanks.
Anytime.
Yeah, always love hearing from fans and people we've known for our relationship with you actually goes back farther than some people's relationship. It's cool.
I want people to tweet in or Facebook or whatever their favorite series finales, because I'm curious to hear more.
Yeah, I agree. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/X-Files Diaries. That's also where we'll post links to the next rounds of voting for Monster Madness. And you can email us at xfilesdiaries@gmail.com or find us on Twitter. We're xfilesdiaries. Pretty sure.
Yep.
Anything else, Nick?
No, I think that's about it.
We should be coming back in about 4 weeks, I think. So look for us the last week of April.
All right. And remember, everyone, believe in the truth you believe in the most.